Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I've said before that one of the great strengths of the United States is, although as I mentioned, we have a very large Christian population, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens.
Great exalted college president, the radical, the atheist, the un-American, the internationalist, the goofball in chief, although he is in Europe, says that he will bypass all of the crosses of Normandy. Reason, he does not want to offend Germany. Now imagine that he does not want to offend the descendants of Hitler by honoring the American war dead at the graves of Normandy. You talk about arrogance, you talk about stupidity. The question is, should Obama have visited Normandy? Now, you may say this is a minor question. I would say it's a major point. It is a major point because it's astounding that this arrogant college president, Barack Hussein Obama, would bypass the crosses of Normandy. Here is a man who goes to Europe and says that I'm the president of the United States, and while visiting France, which gave us Jacques Chirac, he tells America and the world that America is arrogant. You know, that's an amazing story. He is a president undermining the pride of America, and he is probably the most arrogant man in the history of the presidency because of his deep psychological damage. This man has effectively neutered the United States of America while on this trip to Europe. He handed over world leadership from America to Europe. That is what this college professor has done. It's amazing and ironic that the college professor, Obama, told the Euros that America is dismissive, derisive, and arrogant, and that he pandered to the very anti-Americanism that he then accused the Europeans of. You hear this? You think China will be impressed? What nerve this man has to apologize for America's so-called arrogance. We saved Europe in World War II, and many of your ancestors died over there. We've also sent billions of money to third world nations. Would you call that arrogant? Obama is like the South African Truth and Reconciliation Commission. He has embarrassed America globally with his shameful apologies and curtsying to the King of Saudi Arabia. This man, college professor, was elected to and sworn to uphold the Constitution, not run a television show. I think every American listening to the show should be incensed. I think that every man and woman serving in our military and every buried soldier in Arlington National Cemetery deserves an apology from this atheist. Obama has no business bowing to the people of a continent that would not exist were it not for the intervention of America and the bravery of its military. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, what does Obama hope to achieve? To throw up one's hands and surrender like the French? I cannot imagine what thoughts must be crossing the minds of the families of soldiers who gave their lives to defend not only the United States, but virtually all of Europe as well. This man is not only arrogant, but as I said to you before, extremely unpredictable and dangerous. The question for right now is, should Obama have visited the graves of Normandy? How can you say no? How could you say no to that? Now, some of you will do it just to get my goat. Go ahead and try. Go ahead and try. Make my day. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. The story, of course, is that Barack Obama rejected Normandy trip to avoid offending Germany. I can't believe what I'm reading, but it's true. It came out of the Telegraph UK. French officials and senior American military walked with White House staff through the cemetery discussing how the two presidents might follow the same route. You're talking about Omaha Beach. We are talking about Sarkozy inviting him to France and Obama saying that France was not on our agenda. No, it's not on the agenda of an atheist. No, honoring the war dead is never on the agenda of a Marxist, unless they're Marxist soldiers. Now, perhaps if he had honored the war dead of the Soviet Union and Soviet cemeteries, he would have gone to honor the war dead. But this is the most arrogant thing I've ever seen. According to French reports, Obama was to visit the Normandy American Cemetery and Memorial just north of Omaha Beach. He was supposed to have dined with Sarkozy at the nearby Chateau de Benoville in Cayenne, but the White House vermin rejected the offer. The vermin, college vermin in the White House, the grifters, the thieves, the crooks, the anti-American rats in the White House rejected this offer. But Mr. Sarkozy's most senior aide said Obama had agreed to come back in June. A so-called spokesmouth for the White House declined to comment on whether or not Obama, the anti-American atheist, would travel to France in June. The dead Americans at Normandy? The lines and lines of crosses? Why, they're an afterthought. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the savage nation. I am not afraid to criticize Obama. The man is a danger to this nation. He is a clear and present danger to the survival of this nation. I will say it every day until they turn the show off the air. I will say it every day until enough Americans awaken to this dangerous man in the White House. This is no longer about a partisan situation. The man is a far-left radical crackpot, and Reverend Wright's speeches were right on with regard to who we have in the White House, in my opinion. If you want to comment on my comments, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. If you want to talk about other stories, the phone number is the same, and the website is michaelsavage.com. Of course, there's another minor story along this line. It's a little different in a way, but it shows the cultural degradation of America and the rapid descent of this country. The rising pink tide has now appeared on the shores of Vermont. The rising pink tide has appeared in the once pristine Vermont, where homosexual marriage, which of course is a mockery of marriage itself, has been legalized by the socialist vermin who run a once great state. The rising tide of pink fascism in this nation is threatening to sweep across the entire American landscape. And now that Obama, the Trojan horse, is inside the gate, so to speak, the contagion from within his administration is spreading throughout the nation. One state at a time seems to be falling. Bonnie Franks, Massachusetts. Connecticut, the land of the grifter and the tax dodgers. Iowa, California, teetering on the brink. Will Obama next say that in order to make up for the oppression caused by slavery, that the Deep South will now have to accept gay marriage under duress? Will this become a sexual reconstruction of the entire nation? Don't ask, because Obama won't tell. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I've said before that one of the great strengths of the United States is, although, as I mentioned, We have a very large Christian population. We do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens.
You know, that's sickening. It's actually nauseating. You talk about propaganda and the big lie. First of all, to lump in a Muslim nation with a Christian nation as though the country was founded by Muslims and Christians is so outrageous to begin with. But to say this is not a Christian nation, that it's a nation of citizens, is right out of the People's Republic of China. Same thing. We told you you were electing a naked Marxist, and many of you wanted that, and so you're cheering. But I am talking to the millions of you morons, the middle voters, the idiots who were swept up with the big lie, those of you who voted as a protest vote against that previous doofus moron from Texas, whatever his name is, George W. Doofus. You said anybody but another old white male who's going to rob the nation blind. I know what you were thinking when you went over this to this side. But did you actually think you were electing a Marxist like this? Now he won't go to the grave sites in Normandy. He won't go there. He says that not important to go over there. New York City, Rooney, WOR calls. Go ahead, please.
Have to agree with you 100%, Dr. Savage, on calling... speaking clearly on what this man appears to you to be. You know, they say bad things happen because good men fail to speak out. You won't be saddled with that when we get to where this is all headed, because you, having understood the situation, had the courage to call on this. This is a clear and present danger to the country and the nation, and no one will say that.
Well, don't say no one is saying it. There are those in talk radio standing up to this juggernaut of the radical left. This is not an ordinary Democrat. This man is evincing every action of a radical leftist. If Hugo Chavez took over America, it wouldn't be any different politically than what this man is doing. Chavez didn't do that much in the first 100 days, by the way. It was very slowly done by Chavez until he had total power over the country. Don't the people see this? Are they that stupid?
Yes, they are.
But you know who I blame? I blame Rupert Murdoch for having taken the news and turned it into a worthless trash. Rupert Murdoch took what was already bad and degenerate and destroyed it completely by mixing up legs and lipstick and news and sports and weather together. The people don't know, nor do they care what's going on in this country. But let's get down to the brass tacks here. They said that Obama would not visit the graves of Normandy, even those in Europe, because he didn't want to offend the Germans. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you? The president, let me repeat to you, the president of France had expected this imposter to visit the cemetery at Normandy. The president of France had orchestrated this. The president of France had arranged a dinner for the two of them at the nearby Chateau de Bonneville in Cayenne. But Obama's White House atheist group rejected this offer. Doesn't that strike you as offensive? Does it not strike you as offensive by saying this is not a nation of Christians or Jews, not a Christian nation, Jewish nation, or Muslim nation, but a nation of citizens? Well, let me remind you of something that many of you do know already. The nation was not founded on Muslim principles. The nation was founded on Christian principles by a group of devout Christian followers who fled England in order to follow Christianity in a more pure form. That was the foundation of America. All of the founding fathers were devout Christians. The nation was built upon Christianity. And our president now spits in the face of the religion itself that has given this man so much. I'm not shocked because I heard Reverend Wright, and I know this guy sat through the sermons for 20 years and took it all in, sucked it up like a sponge, absorbed it like a sponge, and now is acting out what Wright put in his head. Make no mistake about it. This man is going to do a lot worse if he is not opposed every day. Kansas Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, this pedantic president would sooner visit the remnants of the graves and battlefields that Charles the Hammer created when he crushed the invaders in southern France.
Why would he go to a mosque in Turkey and not go to a graveyard with American war dead in Normandy?
Exactly. He doesn't even understand history, because if he actually knew what he was talking about, he would understand that towards the end of the war, Hitler turned the Wehrmacht and the SS against his own people. And hardly any Germans are actually left. They're mostly Turks.
Well, let's not get into the fine points of the argument. Barack Hussein Obama went to a mosque in Turkey. He visited a landmark mosque in Istanbul. And he took off his shoes as tradition requires. This is an American president. He stepped into a 17th century mosque in Istanbul. And as he was there, the president of our country smiled when they showed him a dome scripture mentioning the Prophet Muhammad's grandson Hussein, which is Obama's middle name. Now, during the election, when we use the name Hussein in order to warn you about where his loyalties may lie, the same old doofus who gave him the election, the shameful John McCain, said that he's not a Muslim. And yet he goes to a mosque. He smiles when they show the name Hussein, the grandson of Muhammad. He will not go, though, to a cemetery where America's war dead, the heroes of World War II, lie. You don't see the handwriting on the wall? I do see the handwriting on the wall. It's written all over the wall. But America apparently is a nation of jerks and fools interested only in, I don't know what you're interested in. I have no idea. And my audience is interested in politics because you're listening to this show, so I can't argue with you. Then he has a Soviet-style visit to the troops in Baghdad, smiling morons and dunces with cameras. Not one protest voice. Not one protest from one soldier. It makes it look like every soldier in the military loves Obama. I can't believe that. Sherman in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Thank you for taking my call. You're absolutely correct, as usual, Mr. Savage. The answer is obvious that he should have visited the graves. Americans have turned President Obama into a sacred cow. We're afraid to critique him. We're uncomfortable being blunt about his obvious mistakes. I believe this is part of the problem.
But this is not a time to be nice to the man and give him any more time. Look what this man has done in such a short period of time. Do I have to go down the list of the damage he's done to our standing in the world? Do I have to go down the list of the damage he's done to the freedom of the marketplace? Do you know that he won't even take back TARP funds because he wants control over the banks? The same way Mussolini had control over the banks? He will not take back the funds from the banks!
Savage. In your eyes, I've earned what all of you have done for me.
Well, most of us do, all you survivors of veterans of World War II, and the few who have survived World War II, understand what I'm saying to you. But the fact is that our atheist college professor president has spit on the memory of the men who are there through eternity by bypassing the cemetery. Now, you may say he didn't know anything about it, but the French are shocked. The French are shocked in many, many different ways. You may not know this, but the French military had a plane on 24-hour standby to whisk Obama over there if he wanted to, but he wouldn't do it. The French had suggested that Obama fly from London to Normandy on Friday morning for a stop before the NATO summit, and yet, instead he's going directly to Strasbourg. French were ready to fete him at a dinner of the president of France at a chateau. Again, he said, "Niet." Now, what do you think this is all about? Don't you understand what this is? Don't you understand what the symbolism is of Obama bypassing the graves at Normandy? He's trying to be president of the world. And this is just another example of this. He's trying to say that World War II is over. And although tens of thousands of our men shed their blood invading France to fight tyranny and despotism, it doesn't matter anymore because now this is a new world order. It's a foreign trip. It's a trip to honor Obama and his ascendancy to the presidency, not to honor America's place in the world. That's my opinion. What is yours? Andrew from OR in New York, go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, you said he's going back in June, right?
We don't know.
Oh, June's the 65th anniversary of D-Day, isn't it?
So what's your point?
My point is, what's the big deal if he doesn't go now, if he's going to go then, when it really, I mean, would be more appropriate?
Well, for one, he's in Europe right now, and to bypass the memory of the war dead is kind of a slap in the face. You see, it doesn't really matter when D-Day is. These men have been dead for eternity. They're not dead for June 6th once a year. And it's a matter of respect.
Well, he is
I mean, the college professor, the atheist, has time to take off his shoes in a mosque, but doesn't have time to take off his hat in a cemetery.
Well,
thanks for the call. You know what? Put that into your pothead pipe and smoke it. He has time to take off his shoes in a mosque in Turkey, but he doesn't have time to take off his hat in a Christian cemetery. And make no mistake about it. 99.9% of the dead are Christians. You see an occasional Star of David? The Jewish population is very small in the country. There are Stars of David. I never saw a crescent in that cemetery. But to him, it's a Muslim nation, Christian nation, Jewish nation, all the same. Again, the big lie. Again, the big lie. Constant big lie, constant propaganda. Every day, drip, drip, drip. Obama now refusing to go to Normandy, say he didn't want to offend the Germans. Apparently, he wasn't afraid of offending the men who shed their blood there in the fight against Hitler. Apparently, he wasn't afraid of offending the descendants of men who are lying there. Which country does Obama want to be president of? I think it's no country. The man is an egomaniac. He's a narcissist. No president in the history of this country, particularly during a crisis of this magnitude. What, he solved all of America's problems and traipses off to Europe? Well, I know he had to go to the G20 summit. And then what? He had to go give rock star speeches to crowds of adoring Marxist children all over Europe? That's what he had to do, because the man can never get enough love. The man is starving for love. The man is starving for adulation. Starving for it because of, I told you, the defects in his psychology as a result of the abandonment by his father's and his mother's flightiness. I told you that yesterday. But you don't want to listen to me. You don't want to accept the wisdom of your elders. You understand this? 1-800-449-8255, phone number, michaelsavage.com, Indiana Spencer. Your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, U.S. Army veteran, and I wanted to let you know, Michael, that, you know, the guys in the military support exactly what you're saying, and probably 95 and 98% of them voted for John McCain, whether he was the right man or not. He didn't.
Well, why did they show all of these adoring soldiers over there in Baghdad jumping on Obama the rock star?
Take a look at what those soldiers look like. The general majority of them didn't look like combat troops to me. Those aren't the guys. You might have a few that's supporting him, but generally speaking, I bet 98% of the people in the military totally are against what this guy's doing. He's tearing apart the foundation that this country was formed on, and if someone doesn't put a stop to it, I'd be very surprised, and I think you know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what you're talking about, but I hear you anyway. Thanks for the call. Now, Obama calls for a nuclear-free world the other day. A nuclear-free world? Hey, what a great idea if you're a college teacher in Chicago. I mean, if he appeared in a fez, I wouldn't be surprised. If next he appeared in a fez and then says America will never be at war with Islam. Well, that's true. America isn't at war with Islam, unfortunately. We're not even fighting the Islamo-fascist anymore. But many of them seem to be at war with us. Isn't that true? If we're not at war with Islam, who are we at war with in Afghanistan? Will anyone tell me? Are we at war with the Jews of Afghanistan? Christian fanatics of Afghanistan, the Kurdish fanatics of Afghanistan. No, it's the Muslim fanatics of Afghanistan who want to die for their mistaken beliefs, their false beliefs. You understand that? But I have made my point, and I don't think I need to beat this up. Let's take your calls on this topic and move on. Kansas City Mike, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, at the risk of sounding like an idiot, I hate to parse words, but I don't really have an issue with Obama's comment about it not being a Christian nation. I totally know that it was founded on Christian principles, but that foundation is what's given us freedom for anybody to be any certain religion that they want. But
hold on. But he didn't just say that. Notice what he said. You got to listen much more carefully, Mike. My job is to listen more carefully for you and to speak more precisely for the listener. He didn't say what you said. You have to listen to it carefully. So stay on the line, Mike, and let's listen to what the college professor said during his propaganda speech in Europe.
You know, I've said before that one of the great strengths of the United States is, although, as I mentioned, you know, we have a very large Christian population, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens.
Well, so did the People's Republic of China and the ex-USSR. Although there were many Christians in the Soviet Union, they didn't consider themselves a Christian nation. They considered themselves a people's nation. China considered itself and still does a people's republic. Now, notice he said not a Christian, not a Jewish, not a Muslim nation. How in the world can he equate the three when the country was founded by Christians? How can he say that, Mike?
Well, no, I agree with you on that viewpoint. And
all right, thank you for agreeing with me at the end of the day. Thank you very much. Houston, Texas, Aaron, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Doc Savage, it's an honor. I just want to say that while it is disrespectful that he bypassed Normandy, there's no excuse for that, regardless of what that earlier caller was saying. I don't think it's unnecessary that he's making a goodwill trip and making speeches, because the economic crisis is global. We're all interlinked.
Well, let's pause there. That's what they have told us. But it's George Soros who is saying that more loudly than anyone. George Soros has come out from under his rocks all of a sudden, and he is now boasting that soon the U.S. dollar will be replaced by a world currency basket, a basket of world currencies. You're pretty aware that he put this stooge in power, aren't you?
I am, and that is psychosis, the replacing of the dollar with an international...
You're pretty aware of the fact that it was George Soros who was the Rothschild of our time who will bring ruin to the currency of this nation unless he is stopped. That man is running and manipulating the world's currencies. And make no mistake about it, if we ever get off the dollar standard for the world, this man will make billions, if not trillions, of dollars. And that's why he put the stooge in power. It's all about money. And it's, again, George Soros. But you have to study the history of Rothschild to understand why, to this day, the French hate the name Rothschild. What he did to their currency during one of the Napoleonic eras, and I don't know which one. I am not that much of an expert on history. I never pretended to be. But it was during a period of one of the Napoleonic Wars that the Rothschild Bank lent money to the government of France to conduct the war and profited handsomely as a result. To this day, the French remember that. To this day, the French hoard gold because their currency became worthless. You understand that? And I'm going to describe a little bit more about what's going on right in front of your nose. This is a shadow play that's not even a shadow play anymore. Apparently, the American people are so dumb and so uneducated that they can get away with this right in front of your eyes. They've decided that if they act it out in front of your eyes, they'll get away with it faster than if they do it surreptitiously. And that's what they're doing. And Soros has now come out from under the rocks and caves that he lives in, and he is pushing a world currency. And he has all of these grifters in the White House, all of them one after the other, never ran a hot dog stand, let alone a nation. And they're having a very nice day, believe me, most of them making millions and millions of dollars on the bank bailouts before Obama appointed these grifters. That's come out. Of course, you didn't read that in your local newspaper. All you do is see that Michelle Obama has been made into a waxen figure in Madame Tussauds Museum. And now he comes back after his first overseas trip as president. All hail Obama. He solved America's problems. Now he made the world love America. He took his shoes off in a mosque. But he wouldn't take his hat off in a cemetery to the war dead at Normandy. I don't see how you people don't see the insult and what he's actually saying. Chicago Mike, welcome to the program.
Dr. Savage, I'm so livid right now, I'm close to tears, and I'm going to try to keep a hold on his things. My father died 13 years ago. He survived the landing on Omaha Beach. Most of the people he was with died. Blown apart, died dead. For this product of a quasi-revolutionary Patty Hearst wannabe who had a baby with this African just to piss her parents off, to not go there and show these guys respect. Just a mere fact of respect.
I'm glad you said what you said. I agree with every word you just said. I hope everyone heard it. This man is a psychological mess, and he is acting out his internal demons on the world stage. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm trying to hold tight. But then for him...
Well, what do you really want to say?
If I really wanted to say it, Dr. Savage, let me tell you something. The FBI would probably be at my door.
They'll be there anyway. They'll be there anyway. They got nothing better to do. They're no longer at war with the radical Islamists. You know that, Mike. They are now at war with anybody who's a patriot in this country. You're probably on a watch list, as am I. There's a series of nodes put out from a law enforcement fusion center in Virginia that shows that our so-called feds are targeting radicalization nodes for terrorists, and God knows who's on it. Some of them belong on it. I mean, they have listed a wide variety of terror or extremist groups in this group. But I'm also worried about the fact that maybe talk show hosts are on there. Did you know that this report of terror nodes or potential terror nodes includes historically black colleges? It also contains an extensive list of American and international activist groups, such as Al-Qaeda, well, of course, Hamas, of course, Hezbollah, of course, Jamal, Fukra, Tayyabia, Muslim Brotherhood, anarchist extremists, Green Anarchism Movement, Black Separatist Extremists, 5% Nation of Islam, New Black Panther Party, New African Black Panther Party, Homegrown Islamic Extremism, Al-Sabaqeen, Lone Wolf Extremists, Militia Extremists, Anti-Abortion Extremists are in the same league, by the way. Now, I don't know what an anti-abortion extremist is. Maybe anybody who opposes abortion to Barney Frank. The Animal Defense League is on there. The Animal Liberation Front. The Stop Huntington Animal Cruelty Group is on there. Earth First is on there. Katua Earth First. Blue Ridge Earth First. Earth Liberation Front. Sovereign Citizen Extremists. Moorish Science Temple of America. Neo-Nazis. Racist Skinhead Movement. White Supremacists are on this potential terrorist threat. But who else is on there in this so-called fusion center list? Are you on there? Am I on there? Are talk show hosts who don't agree with this psychological nightmare for president on there? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Iranian nuke plot vaporized in New York. Petraeus warns Israel might strike Iran over nuke fears. Report says that half of new citizens in the U.S. are Hispanic. American teens in Muslim holy war. Venezuela's dictator Chavez hails the U.S. anti-nuke stance. Chavez applauded Obama to lead the world into a future free of nuclear weapons. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be right back. Savage. Obama is the topic of this hour on the Savage Nation. Another topic is Obama says the U.S. is a secular nation, and he refused to go to Normandy to pay respects to those who liberated America. And, of course, another story that you haven't touched on is the rising pink tide across America. Phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I've also compared George Soros to the original founder of the Rothschild banking fortune. 1813 to 1815, Nathan Mayer Rothschild, who was instrumental in the financing of the British war effort. Now, there's no direct comparison, but right now we are hearing that the U.S. dollar will be replaced by a basket of world currencies. Again, no reaction from anyone. Now, either the people in the journalism profession are moronic, they have no money, they don't understand what's going on in front of their nose, and they don't understand who's saying it. It's George Soros, who almost broke the British pound, who almost broke the Malaysian currency. The man is a currency manipulator. The man put Obama in the White House, and now he's standing up and he's crowing, saying, I had a very good year last year. I made over $1 billion, or almost $1 billion last year, while other hedge funds lost money. You can't figure out why? It's all about insider information, in my opinion. So now he has the ultimate insider information. He has the president in the White House. And he says, well, we don't need the dollar anymore. We need a basket of world currencies. That means he's probably put some bets down on the roulette wheel called world currencies. And no one sees this. No one says anything. Instead, we're focused on what Obama does to insult this country day after day. I'm starting to think maybe he's insulting the country in order to keep us distracted from the real issue, which is always about money. It's always about money. It's always about power. And all of these insults to our nation's dignity and history may just be a distraction for all I know. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. MichaelSavage.com. Again, many of you are being duped into thinking that Well, D-Day is in June. Why should he go now? Well, let me ask you something. If you were right, why did the president of France, Sarkozy, set up a meeting with him at the cemetery? And why did the president of France set up a dinner at the nearby Chateau de Bonneville in Cayenne? And why did the White House suddenly decide not to go? You don't understand, this was a decision made at the last minute not to go. It didn't come out of the blue. Don't you understand this? New York, Jerry, WOR, go ahead, please.
Michael, I agree with everything you say, but you don't give credit. This guy is much more calculating. The reason he didn't show up now is because he can make a much bigger splash in June. Just the way Clinton went there for the 50th anniversary in 94, this guy's going. He's going to walk the cemetery. He's a glory hound. The same way he showed up in Iraq with all of those compliant troops lined up behind him.
What, all of the cooks and all of the cooks, the chauffeurs and the tailors that were there? The White House says, during this trip, we wanted to maintain a balance between the British, German, and France. Do you hear this? Now, why would he equate Britain, Germany, and France? Why would he equate that when our war dead are lying in France?
You're completely right. Remember in 84, Bitburg, the whole controversy when Reagan wouldn't let the Germans there?
Yeah, no, Reagan made a disastrous error going to Bitburg where the SS are buried. What a disaster that was. I hear you. No, but he's wrong for not going. But let's go back to the other Christian, Muslim, Jewish nation. Play that again, Sam.
You know, I've said before that one of the great strengths of the United States is, although, as I mentioned, we have a very large Christian population, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens.
Well, so does China. And by the way, Obama has just appointed Dawn Johnson to the Justice Department, who once compared forced pregnancy with slavery. A radical feminist, anti-male activist with a face from Hades itself, now in the Justice Department. What a country under this man.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I state clearly and with conviction, America's commitment to seek the peace and security of a world without nuclear weapons.
The United States has been enriched by Muslim Americans. Many other Americans have Muslims in their families or have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them. The United States is not and will never be at war with Islam.
You know, I've said before, that one of the great strengths of the United States is, although, as I mentioned, we have a very large Christian population, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens.
Nation of citizens, as in China, as in the ex-Soviet Union. Let me get this straight. He's the president of the United States, and while visiting France, He basically downplays America and won't visit the graves of the war dead at Normandy. Effectively, what Obama is doing to this country is neutering us in Europe. What essentially he is doing is handing over world leadership from America to the neo-Marxists of Europe. Essentially, what this man is doing is telling the world that America is arrogant and that we are a put-down nation, pandering to the very anti-American hatred that he then accused them of. Now, many people say that Obama is arrogant. I have a different word for Obama. It is not arrogance so much as it is insecurity and narcissism that drives this talk show host, professor who has somehow landed in the White House. The nerve of Obama to apologize for America's arrogance and bypass the cemeteries of the heroes at the graveyard in Normandy. He had time to take his shoes off at a mosque in Turkey and smile happily when they mentioned that Muhammad's grandson, his name is Hussein, his middle name, by the way, which we were not allowed to mention during the campaign because of doofuses like McCain. Had time for that, but he didn't have time to take his hat off at the cemetery in Normandy. This country saved Europe in World War II. This country spilled a lot of blood in World War II. This country sent billions of dollars to third world countries. And this man says that we are arrogant? No, we're not arrogant. He is arrogant. This man was elected and is sworn to uphold the Constitution, not run a television show clinic on the past. I think every man and woman serving in our military and every buried soldier in Arlington National Cemetery deserves an apology from this man. This man, by kowtowing to the population of a continent that might surely not exist if it were not for the intervention of America and the bravery of its military. For 50 years, European governments begged America for help, and we helped them without fail. And now Europeans are saying we're arrogant? What does this man expect to gain from this? What does he expect to learn from the Europeans? How to throw up our hands and surrender like the French? No, we're not arrogant. He is more than arrogant. He is a dangerous man, Obama, in my opinion. 1-800-449-8255, phone or michaelsavage.com website. Ohio, John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, greetings and salutations.
But go ahead, John, please make your point.
Prophet to
John,
the nation.
Please make your point, my friend.
My point? Do you have a copy?
John, are you drunk? If you're drunk, you have no business calling this show. If you can make a point, do so, please.
Sober. My point is, please, Michael, your rhetoric on this new president is actually rhetorical. He is inexperienced. He's a Harvard white-collar grad. He's never been in the military, such as me.
I don't know what you're saying. Are you saying something other than what I said? Do you agree with what I said or disagree?
I disagree to a point, Michael.
Well, make your point, please.
The point is, give this president a chance. He's just getting started.
John, we have given him a chance. Have you not seen the handwriting on the wall of what he's done? Let's start with the basics, John. He gave money to the banks in order to take over control of the banks. Now that some of the banks are getting healthier, they want to return the TARP money. And his administration said, we don't want the TARP money because we want to control the banks. Does that not worry you, John?
By his sole power, Michael.
John, do you hear a word I'm saying?
I hear everything you're saying, Michael.
All right, well, have a nice day. And next time you call, make sure you are not drunk. I don't like callers who are drunk. Okay? New York City, WOR. Tom, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Savage. My point is very simple. Although we do not have a religious government, America is overwhelmingly a Christian nation.
Well, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that except this hater from the deep wards of Chicago, where he sat at the feet of Reverend Wright, who indicated exactly what was inside this man's head. That little television show playing in the mouth of Reverend Wright is now inside the head of Obama. Make no mistake about it. Every ounce of what that man said was a warning of what we would get, and we got it in spades, believe me.
Well, it is to the definition of fascism to believe that the government and the country are the same thing, and that's the thing he's confusing. He seems to think that as the head of the government that he speaks in every way for the whole country. The country is a Christian country. He heads a secular government.
The only people who can save us from Obama's Marxism are the Democrats themselves, but I do not think that the Speaker of the House understands the danger we are in. The only people who can save us from this man, and no one's going to believe what I'm going to say, are more sober-minded mainstream Democrats like Joe Biden. Now, I'm not a big fan of Joe Biden, but Joe Biden is a stable personality who we understand who he is and where his loyalty lies. We cannot say that about Obama.
It'll take them too long to wake up.
Well, here's my prediction. Unless there is some shocking manipulation of the constitutional process in this country, the Democrats are going to lose more seats in the next election than ever in history. There'll be a wholesale slaughter of being thrown of the Democrats being thrown out of office. Anybody will win except a Democrat after this man. Listen, I got to repeat why I'm saying that. It's not wish fulfillment fantasy. Let me explain what I'm saying to you. Obama had a hardcore of left support. That's a given. We know that. He was from the far left wing of the Democrat Party. That's a given. He did not represent mainstream Democrat politics. That's a given. So how did he win? He had about $1 billion came into his coffers, much of it from unknown sources. Now, he didn't win simply by money. The money was used to buy influence and advertising and votes. Many, many millions of you listening to this show would normally have voted for a Republican candidate had there been one. But there was not a Republican candidate. There was a Manchurian candidate named John McCain. He was detested by most of you. And those of you who did vote for him voted because you voted out of default. But many of you went over and voted for Obama saying anything but Bush, anybody but Bush, not four more years of the Bush cronyism, not another war with corrupt contracting. I know what was in your mind. But many of you didn't understand that you were electing a Marxist, a neo-Marxist president. You didn't quite understand the danger you'd be putting this country in putting this college professor in the White House, did you? And I am telling you right now, there is tremendous voter remorse, phenomenal voter remorse. You won't read that because the papers are controlled by the Marxist literati. I understand all of this. But the fact is, if this election were held again today, even McCain would win. Even McCain would win. Would you believe that we would be seeing the Congressional Black Caucus, these far-left white haters, going to visit the Castro brothers as though they're legitimate leaders when they're nothing but gangsters and murderers? Would you believe that Barbara Lee, a disgraced lawmaker like Barbara Lee, would be held up on the news as some role model for America? How is this all happening right now, right in front of your eyes? Would you believe a president would go to Europe and not stop at the Normandy Cemetery? Would you believe a president would go to a mosque, take off his shoes, and not go to a war cemetery where our dead are buried, those who liberated this country from Nazism, but not take off his hat in Normandy? I don't think you'd believe any of this. Would you believe that you have a president doing exactly, step by step, what Mussolini did in his early years? Now you say, where are you coming up with that, Mike? I tried to tell you this the other day. The nationalization of the banks under Obama, which is happening right in front of your eyes. The various and sundry other movements toward mild nationalizations are exactly what Mussolini did in order to grab more power for himself. But I guess that goes over most people's heads. We are living in the Jerry Springer nation, the Oprah nation. It's been said 1,000 times. But what he and Soros and the cronies are doing, they're doing right in front of your eyes. In other words, if they did these things behind the scenes and they were caught, it would backfire on them. But this guy, Rahm Emanuel, the Israeli who is running him, understands that crisis is good because crisis can be used to frighten people into doing things and voting for things they normally wouldn't do. And so Rahm Emanuel, the Israeli who is running this White House, is very clever indeed. So Rahm Emanuel says, do it right in their face. Go to a mosque, take your hat off. Don't go to the cemetery, spit in the face of the Christians. Do it right in their face. Say this is not a Christian nation, Jewish nation, or Muslim nation, making them all equal and making it sound as though George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, were possibly Muslims. Do it right in their face. Shock them. I'll be right back.
Savage.
He says he doesn't want to offend Britain and Germany, and he has said no to Nicolas Sarkozy, the president of France, who has begged the president of our country to make a trip to Normandy this week. White House officials, you should know, visited France at the start of March to discuss a visit by Obama to Omaha Beach, the site of the American Cemetery, established in 1944, just after D-Day, and where 9,387 American personnel are buried, dead men. Among them is Theodore Roosevelt Jr., the eldest son of the 26th U.S. president, who was killed during that action. In fact, French officials and senior American military walked with White House vermin through the cemetery discussing how the two presidents might follow the same route. But now Obama has decided he will not go to the cemetery. American officials said it's not going to happen. We went through the motions to placate President Sarkozy, but giving special treatment to France was not on our agenda. Now, do you hear what he just said? Special treatment to France. They missed the point entirely. These people in the White House spit on the memory of America's heroes. It wasn't about France. It was about American heroes. But these college left-wing grifters say that it would have given special treatment to France for the college professor to go to Normandy. It's astounding to me that you don't understand what an insult this is, and that's why we've been talking about it for so long in the Savage Nation. New York, Anthony, W-O-R, go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, thank you for taking my call. It's really a privilege and an honor. I just want to say briefly, I know I have about a minute to do it, but today I buried my father-in-law, a World War II vet, who served between 1943 to 1946 out in the Pacific Theater. And during the burial ceremony over in the cemetery, military cemetery, by the way, the honor guards had folded the flag and handed it to my son, his grandson. And in the process, they said, on behalf of the President of the United States. Now, my son, interestingly enough, voted for Barack Obama, though I voted the other way. Not that I had much of between the two choices. And in the process, I lightheartedly joked. I said, hey, you got it from, Barack Obama. But in listening to your radio show, driving back, and hearing this, I am so incensed. I came home. I went to my son. I said, listen, I heard this on Dr. Savage's show. You don't have to believe Dr. Savage. You don't have to believe me. Look it up online, The Independent of the UK, and there it is, lo and behold, the story. Because he didn't want to insult Germany. Are you kidding me? My father-in-law...
It had nothing to do with not wanting to avoid offending Germany. It had to do with wanting to spit in the face of the memory of our war heroes. That's what it is. Make no mistake about it. This man is an anti-American through and through, in my humble opinion. I don't care what anyone tells me. I can see the handwriting on the wall. Everything that Reverend Wright put in his head is coming home to roost. Everything. Chicago, John, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, your Obama on the couch analysis was spot on. This man
is a
narcissist. He cares nothing for anyone but himself. This has been proven time and time again. In the campaign, he didn't want to use the word, the name Hussein. Now he's using it like it's like it's Smith.
That's
Jones.
Right. He didn't want to use the name Hussein, but now he goes to the mosque with all the fez wearers, takes off his shoes. They put him in front of a memorial in the mosque to Hussein, the grandson of Muhammad, and the man smiles, finding out exactly where his name came from. I don't mind that he goes to a mosque. They all do that. They go to churches, synagogues, mosques. That's not unusual. But that he would go to a mosque, take off his shoes, and not go to the war dead cemetery in Normandy and take off his hat really bothers me. Thanks for the call. Now, if you missed it yesterday, Obama on the couch. I hope it's still up on michaelsavage.com. I won't bore you with the details. Call Art and tell him to put it back up on the bottom left. Because Obama on the couch, the monologue that I wrote back in September 10, 2008, is worth keeping up on my website for about a week. The people have to understand who we have in the White House. Look, all men are flawed. None of us are perfect. God wants it that way. In other words, if any of us were perfect, God would find the competition to be quite offensive. So he made us as fallen angels or as imperfect creatures. I acknowledge that. I have warts. I have clay feet. I have a hump on my back, if you know what I'm saying. I understand that, but I'm not the president of the United States. Moreover, and more importantly, in order to understand some of the actions of this man, in order to understand where he is coming from, you must look deep within his psychology. You must analyze the psychology of this man, as has been done of every other president, for God's sakes. And then you have to look to his mother to get your answers. His mother is the biggest factor in this man's life and in his behavior. Perhaps in all of our lives and behavior, the mothers play the most important role. I can't say for sure. But particularly in his case, it's very important you understand why he is the way he is. In 1961, Obama's mother, God rest her soul, Ann Dunham, married Obama's father, a man from Kenya. 3 years later, he ditches her and goes back to Kenya. 67, his mother marries another man, this time an Indonesian. Nothing unusual about that. A few years later, divorced again. Nothing unusual about that. But his mother keeps globetrotting, sometimes taking her young son Barry with her, sometimes leaving Barry behind. And so he develops what psychologists refer to as an Oedipal complex. He develops behaviors that are being acted out in front of your eyes.
Savage.
Talking about the shocking arrogance of the president, the supine nature of his visit to Europe, the handing over of world leadership to these vermin of Europe, the Euro trash that run it. We are talking about the man's many, many missteps. We are talking about his psychology. We are talking about his psychology from the point of view that we would talk about any president's psychology. Nixon was analyzed. Certainly Bush has been analyzed over and over again as to why he behaved the way he does. All men have a psychology, and all men have an inner landscape. And yet it seems to be verboten to discuss Obama's inner landscape, which may explain a little bit of his behavior and his arrogance. Arrogance is usually a mask for grave insecurity. Sometimes some of the most loquaciously confident individuals are racked with doubts inside. After all, he compares himself to Abraham Lincoln, which is astonishing. And yet Lincoln, as we well know, was a deeply, deeply troubled man. We can say that for sure. Why can't we then analyze this man, Obama, as we are doing on the Savage Nation? That's why I point you to michaelsavage.com, where you'll see Obama on the couch written back in September of 2008. Again, I want to tell you that, of course, the mother married frequently. That's not unusual in this society today. But unknown to most of you is that his mother went globetrotting very often, sometimes taking her son, sometimes leaving Barry behind. And she created great insecurity in him. And he developed a complex. And he became fixated on his mother and wanted her love. And then he awakened, as all Oedipals do, to the fact that his mother had affections for others besides himself. And then he had to compete with multiple paternal stand-ins, and he was never fully able to bond with his mother in that regard. And that created certain reactions and actions within his mind. What you may not know is that excessive separation from within an Oedipal complex sometimes leads to a sense of helplessness in a child that can in turn lead to patterns of control, idealized control, and being self-sufficient, saying, I can do it, I don't need her, I don't need her, I don't need it, I can do it. You may not know that Obama's mother sent him to live away from her when he was 10 and again sent him away when he was 14. It seems clear to me that this excessive separation in the absence of a father led to a pattern of idealized control that Obama has not only imposed upon himself, but is now trying to impose on every citizen of the United States of America. Yes, Obama's mother was a free spirit who traipsed around the world with many different men. And while there's nothing unusual about that in itself, you cannot ignore the effect that this has had on her, her child, her male child, Barry, who is now the president of the United States of America. And so I say you have to analyze things in their context. That's what we're doing on the Savage Nation. If you care to comment on this or him not going to the cemetery at Normandy, you can do so by dialing the Savage Nation. Lancaster Martin, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Now you're a psychiatrist, Mike, huh?
Listen, what are you?
Barack Obama is...
Wait, hold it. Wait, you just try to insult me. So what is it you do for a living?
Well, I work in administration here with the state.
Of course, you're a state bureaucrat. That's why you like Obama, because you're a little Marxist yourself.
Well,
you're a little you collect a check from the state, so you don't know what it is to earn a living.
Well, that's your opinion, Michael. My opinion is he's a Harvard graduate. He's one of the most intelligent young men ever to be in the White House. And
Let me tell you something. Mussolini was an intelligent man, too. So was Hitler. So was Stalin. So was Mao. So was many, many other leaders. What does intelligence have to do with it? We're not talking about whoever accused him of not being intelligent.
Well, Michael,
you never heard me say he's not intelligent. He's very intelligent. That makes him even more dangerous. Listen to me, you weasel, you. Listen, you little weasel. You're a government worker. You've never amounted to anything in your life. Of course you worship this man, because this man represents everything you wanted to be. A weasel with power. Have a nice day, you little bureaucratic weasel. Sacramento, Edward, you're on the Savage Nation.
I'm going to make you feel better, sir. I am an immigrant from the Middle East, and I immigrated to the United States because it's a Christian country. If you read, I'm not a politician. I don't have a doctrine, but from reading the history, I know that the United States was born on a Christian base. That's why I'm here.
That's exactly right. And all of the freedoms of this country are built upon Christianity, not built upon Islam.
And I'm just predicting something.
Do you know anybody who wants to immigrate to a Muslim nation? Can you name five people who want to immigrate into a Muslim-dominated nation?
No, the Muslims that immigrate here, they want to change our country. That's why they immigrate here.
Isn't it interesting to me that they leave the despotic nightmares behind and they want to impose clitorectomies and other throwback behaviors on us?
Tell you what, it doesn't make sense because they were born with it. They were brainwashed with it. And
well, why do we let them in this country? Why are we not more choosy as to who we bring into the nation? You got the FBI watching Somali refugees in Minneapolis because many of them are becoming jihadis. We warned them not to bring them in. They were bringing in people from Somalia and putting them down in white neighborhoods in Maine. And we said 5 years ago it's going to cause trouble. But nobody listened to us. This started under Bush, by the way, not under Obama.
Yeah, I'm predicting something. I don't think he's going to light the tree this time and Christmas. He's going to make a model of Mecca, and he's going to light that house.
I don't know that he would dare do that. I don't think that he would put a model of Mecca on the White House lawn. I wouldn't think that Rahm Emanuel, the Israeli, would be that foolish. Thank you for the call. San Diego, Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I'd like to say this, Dr. Savage. You are Radio Free America, but I'm going to cut right to my point. Okay, all of those men who died on Normandy in that space of 3 or 4 days, and the heavy battle that happened on June 6th. Not one of them died to him. They died fighting tyranny, not fighting for it. Okay, and I'm going to tell you who he doesn't want to insult. He doesn't want to insult his namesake, the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, who also was a Husseini, the great Jew killer, okay, who mapped out the destruction of the Jews for Hitler, Hitler's helper, okay? And I'm going to tell everybody, if you don't fight tyranny, you'll be consumed by it, okay? And I know that you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying, but I tell you, you don't have to be a genius to see what this devious neo-Marxist is doing. He has the time to go to a mosque in Turkey, but he doesn't have time to go to the cemetery at Normandy.
I was there at the Black September offensive in Israel in September of 1970, okay? And all these people that are embracing this, they don't know. They don't know what they're letting through the door, okay? And I'm
let me repeat what the Black September was, because most Americans don't understand it, but I do. I think I've mentioned it before. More Palestinians were killed by Jordanians in their uprising against Jordan when they tried to take over the country than in all of their actions against Israelis. That is a fact of reality. And they call it the Black September Massacre. I believe it was in 1970. You see, the Jordanians took the Palestinians in out of kindness, and soon enough, the Palestinians tried to take over Jordan. And the Jordanian army was too strong for them. And instead of going to the rule books, they just wiped them out. The Jordanian army wiped out the Palestinians in a great massacre. They didn't consult George Bush's rules of engagement.
And I'll tell you, let me say this, Dr. Savage. You know what? His foot has no place on that hallowed ground, okay? It's much more suited in a mosque, okay? And, I write poetry. I'd like to send you a copy of my book. But I wrote a poem called The Great Shoe That Held the Coward's Foot on the 50th anniversary of Normandy Beach when Willie Clinton put his foot, his coward foot, on that hallowed ground.
The funniest picture of the Clinton administration was him wearing a bomber jacket in Yugoslavia.
His military, that's his whole military experience. He spent most of the war trying just not being where he should be to get drafted, okay, anyplace else. I'll tell you, there's a bad...
Well, what do you think about the Congressional Black Caucus, who are all communists through and through, going to Fidel Castro's lockdown Stalinist camp in Cuba, coming back and praising him? What do you think about that?
Let me tell you what the...
Why are these congressional black caucuseers acting out all of a sudden on the world stage? These are nothings. These are insignificant
politicians have always stuck their finger in the eye of America. They're white haters through and through. Everybody knows that. Why else would you create a group called the Black Caucus? What does that mean, Black Caucus? What does that mean?
It means this, that they praised the head of the Abyssinian Baptist Church, okay, said that Fidel Castro was a great visionary. Visioning what? Riding around in 55 Chevys to this day?
Barbara Lee, the so-called Democrat of California, is a communist through and through. She's a well-known communist. They come back from this dictatorship, this Stalinist island called Cuba, and they heap praise on Castro, calling him warm. They don't talk about the many thousands that were killed by this monster, this criminal monster, him and his brother. It was almost like listening to an old friend, said Representative Bobby Rush, Democrat of Illinois. Bobby Rush was a Black Panther. These are all radicals, every last one of them. Every one of them is a propagandist for communism. Every one of these Black Caucuseers would like to see this country become a dictatorship where freedom-loving people would be put into prison camps. And yet we have to watch them going to Cuba, coming back and praising a murderer and a dictator and a gangster. It's astounding what's going on in this country. It's astounding. 1-800-449-8255. Amarillo, Texas. John, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I'd like to ask you to put Obama back on the couch for a minute. I'd like to know what your opinion is on what his father or stepfather had on him when he lived in a Muslim country and went to a Muslim school.
What do you mean by had on him?
Well, what influence do you think that had on his life?
I think the first father, the actual biological father, the Kenyan gentleman, we have read many things about that man. He went back to Kenya after ditching the wife and son, thinking he'd be a big man in Kenya, thinking he'd become a big government official, when in fact he ended his life in alcoholism and complete failure. You know that as well.
Yes, sir.
But that doesn't really matter. Many men listening to the show had alcoholic fathers who amounted to nothing, and they made something of themselves, as Obama has made of himself. He has made something of himself. He's the president. But that isn't the issue. The issue is the psychology of the man. The issue is the psychiatric behavior of the man. The issue is his attempts to control the world. Let me ask you something. Do you find it appropriate that in the middle of a great recession, which is all of a sudden over, he goes to Europe and he starts praising the Europeans, praising Muslims, goes to the Grand Mosque of Istanbul. He thinks he solved the problems in America. Now he's going to cure the world. The man is walking around in some kind of delusion as to what his power really is.
Didn't he live with his stepfather in a Muslim country and go to a mosque?
In Indonesia, he lived with his stepfather, and he went to a mosque by his own admission in his own book, to a Muslim school, during which time he did go to mosques, yes.
Yeah. What influence do you think that might have had on him?
How do I know? His middle name is Hussein. What more do we need to know? John McCain said, though, we couldn't mention that. Do you remember that during the campaign?
Absolutely.
Do you remember when the Manchurian candidate who was set up to fail? Said we can't mention the middle name Hussein. Anyone who does is not an American. You don't remember what McCain did to make certain this interloper won?
Sir.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Savage.
He called Senator Obama. He said he was a Chicago Daily political hack. He twice used his middle name. Is Barack Obama's middle name appropriate in this campaign?
No, it is not. Any comment that is disparaging of either Senator Clinton or Senator Obama is totally inappropriate. And I absolutely repudiate such comments. And again, I will take responsibility. It will never happen again. It will never happen again.
He's an Arab. He is not.
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. He's a decent family man, citizen that I just happen to have disagreements with on fundamental issues, and that's what this campaign is all about. He's not. Thank you.
Well, that's why you lost, you schmuck, you. You lost because you lost on purpose. You're a disgrace to the McCain name, in my opinion. Your grandfather was a great man, your father was a great man, and you're a loser, John. You threw the election, and you know it in your heart. But that's water under the bridge. Now he goes to Turkey, Obama, goes into the mosque. They put on the fezes. He takes off his shoes. And they take him before a memorial to the grandson of Muhammad, whose name happens to be Hussein. and Obama is very, very pleased and smiles. Suddenly his middle name has great currency, but not to John McCain. No, not at all. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Many stories that we haven't touched on, but I want to go back to something I touched on that you may have missed. It's very important. I want to read you something written by a man named Quinn Hillier in the, I think, American Spectator. It's a short paragraph. Trying to handle the crisis, the fascist government nationalized the holdings of large banks, which had accrued significant industrial securities. The government also issued new securities to provide a sort of credit for the banks. The government offered recognition and support to these organizations in exchange for promises that they would manipulate prices in accordance with government priorities. This economic model, based on a partnership between government and business, was soon extended to the political sphere and what became known as corporatism. The fascists began to impose significant tariffs and other trade barriers. Various banking and industrial companies were financially supported by the state. The national leader created the new governmental entity, which soon controlled 20% of the nation's industry through government-linked companies. The national leader also adopted a Keynesian policy of government spending on public works to stimulate the economy. Public works spending tripled to overtake defense spending as the largest item of government expenditure. Does that sound like U.S. government policy begun under George Bush? It is. It's now expanding under Obama. But the above passage describes the economics of fascist Italy in the 1930s, as summed up by Wikipedia. Furthermore, and I want you to listen to this carefully, quote, the fascist conception of life, according to Mussolini, stresses the importance of the state and accepts the individual only insofar as his interests coincide with the state. It is opposed to classical liberalism, which denied the state in the name of the individual. Fascism reasserts the rights of the state as expressing the real essence of the individual. What you idiot liberals don't understand is that you are actually fascists. By worshiping this statist, you are worshiping the death of liberalism. But you don't understand that, many of you. Now, the Black Caucus does understand that. The Black Caucus understands that individualism is very dangerous for those who would like a state to dictate life from the cradle to the grave. The fascist inclinations of the Congressional Black Caucus, who envision a time when apparatchiks like them would be able to control everything that we say and do, will only come about when there is total state control of virtually every aspect of our lives. Now you understand perhaps what I'm saying to you today. I hope you do. Tomorrow, for the Jewish people, there is a very important and very festive holiday called Passover. And Passover usually begins in celebrating the liberation of the Jewish people from slavery and bondage in Egypt. I only wonder if any rabbis across America will take the time to talk about what freedom and slavery really are, and how we are the freest nation on earth, and how we're losing our freedoms on earth, and how under this man we are slowly seeing the ligature tightening and tightening and tightening, and slowly but surely becoming slaves to a state. Now, it is a benign state at this time, a very benign state. It's not at all a dictatorship of the sorts that you might fear. It's done by degrees. Remember that even Chavez, when he won in his country, did not do very many things in the first 100 days. In fact, Obama has done far more to move this country away from freedom in his time period than even Chavez did in his time. But you see, you don't understand this. And the reason is because we have no opposition press. In that country of Chavez, there was an opposition press, which Chavez eventually took control over, closing down opposition TV stations, gaining control of the movie industry. But Obama doesn't have to do that because there is no opposition press, is there? The only opposition to Obama is on talk radio. This is the voice of America. This is the Samizdat of the United States of America, for those of you from the ex-Soviet Union. We are the underground press of America. We are the last voices in the media trying to tell you from the underground what is going on in your country. You will not read it in the failing newspapers because they are fundamentally, absolutely in agreement with this madness. You will not see it on your television sets, with rare exception, because they're almost 100% in cahoots with Obama, not only because they agree with him, but because their bosses, like Murdoch, get tremendous benefits from the bank bailouts and from the other bailouts. You don't understand any of this. That is why CNBC was so nice to Obama. NBC got hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, from the Obama administration. He bought them off. Don't you understand that? But they can't buy me.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's what we've been talking about today on the Savage Nation. The pink tide is rising. Vermont has legalized homosexual marriage. No surprise there. But so have Iowa, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and California is teetering on the brink. Do you think Obama has anything to do with this? Do you think Obama has empowered the gay mafia to pick off states one at a time? And will the Deep South be the next target for the pink hand? The big story is that Obama refuses to go to honor the war dead in Normandy. It's astounding that he would not go to the war memorials in Normandy, France, during his European tour because he didn't want to offend the Germans. But apparently he wasn't afraid of offending the men who shed their blood there in the fight against tyranny. In other words, the real Private Ryans and their descendants. Which country does Obama have loyalty to, or does he have loyalty to any country? Obama said the U.S. is a secular nation. While in Europe, Obama said the U.S. is a secular nation. Play the clip.
You know, I've said before that one of the great strengths of the United States is, although as I mentioned, we have a very large Christian population, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens.
Do you agree with him, or is he trying to turn America, a Judeo-Christian nation, into a secular, liberal, fascist state? D-Day for Obama. On June 6, 1944, the American invasion of Nazi-controlled Europe began on the beaches of Normandy. Thousands and thousands of American men were butchered in a single day. Remember Private Ryan? But in April of 2009, Barack Hussein Obama dishonored the memory of those fallen men by refusing to visit the graves of Normandy. Why did he do it, you ask? Well, he says he didn't want to offend the descendants of Adolf Hitler, the Germans. You see, his European vacation has been very carefully orchestrated. He spends just so much time in France, so much time in Germany, just enough in each case to stroke the egos of Europe's neo-Marxist heads of state. And so because he had already spent time in Paris, the city of, well, light, the world capital of fashion, he didn't want to come back on the way home. Germany might look down on it if he paid France an extra visit. I've already told you that this egomaniac, this insecure maniac, Obama, is trying to be president of the world. And this is just another example of him misappropriating his priorities. For Americans, the beaches at Normandy in France are hallowed ground. Tens of thousands of our men shed their blood in this invasion, in a fight against tyranny and despotism, in a fight which Americans of this generation couldn't begin to make. President Reagan went there during his administration. Going there isn't really a foreign trip. It's a trip to honor America's fallen heroes. And though Obama is willing to wine and dine the French in Paris and apparently be a crowd pleaser in Prague, though he sounds terrific to the Turks in translation, when it comes to honoring our heroes in Normandy, he's nobody. We've talked about how third-party candidates were going to be watched like they were on a terror watch list for militia members. Well, a few days ago, the Director of Development for Campaign for Liberty, Steve Bierfeldt, was selected for additional screening after TSA officials spotted a metal box in his luggage that contained a large amount of cash and checks made out to the campaign. He was taken into a separate room and harassed. Joining us now to talk about this story is Audrey Hudson with the Washington Times.
Thanks for having me on, Michael. What happened was an employee of Campaign for Liberty was flying out of St. Louis last week when TSA screeners saw a metal box in his luggage. They removed the metal box, and they found cash and checks to the campaign. So they took him in for additional screening, and what Mr. Bierfield did is he reached inside of his pocket and turned on his iPhone, which recorded the entire event.
Well, let's play the clip.
What do you do for a living?
Is that relevant, sir?
Yes, it is.
Am I legally required to tell you that?
Well, I'll tell you what. Go kick the plate. You may not be legally required to tell me that, but you will be legally required to help the police officer come to talk to you.
Okay.
I'm just trying to ask some questions, figure out what all this is about, so I can get you on your plane.
Funny, is it? I don't know the exact amount, sir. The card says about
$4,700.
$4,700?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Why do you have all this money?
I asked her, sir, if am I required by law to answer the question. That's my
I'm just asking you, why you have $4,700?
I understand. That's my question. I don't understand
the law.
Do
you want to talk to the EEA about it? They'll probably ask you.
If they can tell me if I'm required to answer the law or question, I'll answer the question.
That's a good sample of pretty much what the whole recording captured. They would ask him over and over, where did you get the money? Where do you work? Why are you in St. Louis? And he, as you heard, very politely responded each time, am I legally required to answer that question? And instead of just saying yes or no, they kept badgering him and accused him of doublespeak. And, of course, there was also some choice language in the tape as well, and that's why the TSA says that they are investigating the behavior of their screeners.
What did the TSA eventually do with Bierfeld? How did this turn out at the airport?
Well, at the very end, they finally threatened him one last time to take him to the DA, and he asked if he was being detained, and they finally said, yes, you are. And so you can hear them. They're walking him out of the office and into the airport concourse, and a final fourth or fifth officer comes over to them and says, no, wait a minute. You work for Ron Paul, correct? And he says, yes. And he says, and these are campaign funds, right? And he says, yes. And he says, well, you're free to go. There's nothing suspicious here about campaign funds. But yet again, the TSA guy says, well, I'm not entirely satisfied with his answer, and I'm not ready to let him into my concourse yet. After they released him, he did get to his plane on time, and he made it back to D.C. But at the very end of the tape, you can hear him walk off and tell a colleague, kind of, you know, in some sort of misbelief as to what just happened to him. So you actually hear him get onto the plane. We contacted Ron Paul for a reaction, and he said he was surprised about the whole thing. And basically said people need to know their rights, and law enforcement officers, even if their intentions are noble, they should never be allowed to bully and detain law-abiding citizens.
Well, wasn't Bierfeld's group, Campaign for Liberty, one of the groups specifically mentioned by the report on third-party and militia members?
Well, that's why this was so significant, exactly, you know, that Stephen was stopped, because his group, Campaign for Liberty, was targeted in a report by Missouri officials that came out in February that basically said anyone who supported a third-party candidate was likely to be militia-connected. And in the report, they named Ron Paul and Bob Barr, among others. And it was just last week that Missouri came out and apologized and said, oh, we should not have included, you know, the Ron Paul campaign, or saying that such militia members might be carrying Ron Paul bumper stickers, because obviously when his suitcase was opened, he was found to be in possession of Ron Paul bumper stickers. And as he told me in an interview, that was why he was keenly aware of making sure to know what his legal rights were before he answered the questions, because he knew that Missouri had considered Ron Paul supporters to be militia.
Well, what has the TSA's response been?
TSA's response was fairly canned. First of all, they did confirm Steve's account of how it happened. He did not misbehave in line or anything. It was the metal box that got their attention. And then they stated why they felt it necessary to know where the money came from, or, you know, to be able to ask questions of suspicious nature. And then they went on to say that the behavior was totally inappropriate for the TSA. One of the points that Steve made is that since when is it illegal to carry cash in this country? Since when do you become a suspect for carrying cash onto an airplane? And what was he supposed to do with the metal box? Put it in his check luggage where it could be stolen?
Thanks, Audrey. Our president is busy making friends with Iran, yet our own libertarian citizens are treated like criminals. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation. Savage. While our dear president panders to the UN with talk about becoming a better global nation, the UN is busy trying to stifle personal freedom. The United Nations Human Rights Council last Thursday approved a resolution calling upon member states to provide legal protection against acts of hatred, discrimination, intimidation, and coercion resulting from defamation of religions and incitement to religious hatred in general, close quote. That means no bad talk about radical Islam. Joining us today is Robert Spencer with Jihad Watch to talk about this nightmare.
Thanks, Michael. Yes, the United Nations Human Rights Council last Thursday has indeed approved a resolution that calls upon member states to provide, and I quote, legal protection against acts of hatred, discrimination, intimidation, and coercion resulting from defamation of religions and incitement to religious hatred in general. Now, of course, the problems with this should be obvious. They're talking about protection against acts of hatred, intimidation, coercion. That kind of thing is in the eye of the beholder. And as we know from many, many, many examples, the Islamic countries around the world and Islamic spokesmen in the United States, including, of course, our mutual friends at the Council on American Islamic Relations, Michael, they have routinely characterized accurate statements about Islamic jihad, about the Islamic supremacist doctrines that have inspired Muslims around the world to wage war against unbelievers and to try to subjugate them as inferiors under the rule of Islamic law. They've routinely characterized all this as hatred, as if a non-Muslim quotes the Quran, it's an act of hatred against Muslims. If a Muslim quotes the Quran, it's the noble teachings of a great world religion. And yet it could be exactly the same quote. And indeed, the inspiration behind this United Nations Human Rights Council resolution is the Organization of the Islamic Conference, which is 57 governments around the world, 56 Muslim countries plus the Palestinian Authority, and it's the UN's largest voting bloc right now. And so it's really effectively the Organization of the Islamic Conference, the OIC, can do whatever it wants at the UN. And so what they want, and they've been very clear about this, is to criminalize what they consider to be insults to Islam or acts of hatred against Islam. And this resolution that is trying to outlaw incitement to religious hatred is in line with that. The problem is that they consider even counterterrorism efforts, if they explore the motives and goals of jihad terrorists, and how jihad terrorists use Islam and the Quran and the teachings and example of Muhammad to justify violence and terrorism and Islamic supremacist efforts, they want to characterize all that as insults to Islam and hatred of Muslims. And so what they're trying to do essentially is leave us mute and defenseless in the face of the advancing global jihad, because we won't be able to talk about it, therefore we won't be able to resist it.
What does this do to our freedom of speech in America?
Well, of course, this would be the death of free speech, Michael. This would be the end of free speech. I mean, free speech, the whole idea of protected speech, as specified by the First Amendment to the Constitution, was to allow for some kind of safeguard against political tyranny. If you can't speak out against the dominant regime, then obviously that dominant regime can do whatever it wants. And so freedom of speech is the fundamental safeguard for any free society to remain free. And this would destroy it. This would create Islam and Muslims as a protected class beyond criticism, beyond even negative comment, beyond even accurate negative comment that simply delineated what their goals and agenda really are. And so the idea here is to extend that principle of Islamic law over Western nations under the guise of hate speech, calling it hate speech and so on. Now, you know, obviously, nobody really supports genuine hate speech. Nobody supports racial slurs or whatever, or calling on people to kill people, genuine hate speech. But what they're trying to call hate speech is anything but. They're trying to call hate speech simply the kinds of things that we need to be talking about in order to formulate the kind of resistance to the global jihad that we need to be formulating right now.
We would lose our freedom of religion as well?
Michael, freedom of religion is another thing that would go out the window, because what really the agenda of the Organization of the Islamic Conference here is exactly the same agenda as Osama bin Laden. What they want to do is impose Islamic law over the rest of us. Islamic law considers that it applies not just to Muslims, but to non-Muslims also, and it does not provide, it's a political system, I should emphasize, not solely a religious one, and it does not provide for equality of rights of non-Muslims with Muslims under the law. Rather, non-Muslims must accept a humiliating, degraded, second-class status, and that status is reinforced by all kinds of restrictions upon the free exercise of their religion as well as upon their speech. Non-Muslims are forbidden to build new houses of worship or to repair old ones. And even though these laws are not fully in force in most parts of the Islamic world today, only in Saudi Arabia and Iran, and Saudi Arabia is a special case because non-Muslims aren't allowed any religious expression there at all, still, these laws remain as a kind of cultural hangover over Islamic countries in general. So that, for example, if you go into Egypt, you go to the Coptic Christian churches, generally they're in pretty poor condition. They're in a state of disrepair, and the Copts just can't get the permits that they need to repair them. The Egyptian authorities won't allow it, and that's in accord with traditional Islamic law. They cannot have any kind of public expression of their religion, and so generally churches in the Middle East, those that remain, don't have bells, they don't have public processions, that kind of thing. It just is unheard of there. Now, this is the kind of thing that would indeed come to the United States, the kind of provision that would come to the United States if they ever were to succeed in imposing Islamic law here. Now, I think that's fanciful, but I don't think it's fanciful that this could come to Europe, and come to Europe actually rather quickly.
Under this resolution, who determines what is hate speech?
That's exactly the difficulty. Hate speech is in the eye of the beholder. One man's hate is another man's truth. I mean, you know, I myself have been accused of hate speech by Muslim groups, but this is simply a tactic that they use. I don't hate anyone, and I've never written anything genuinely hateful. What I've done is quote the Islamic text and the Islamic teachings that Islamic jihadists quote and use to justify their actions and to make recruits among Muslims. And so the difficulty here is that if the Organization of the Islamic Conference is the one that is allowed to determine what hate speech is, then, we're all in trouble. We're all under the threat of being accused of this simply for reporting accurately about the intentions and the activities of Islamic jihadists.
This is shocking, Robert. We need a president to stand up for our country and all of our rights. Obama seems too ready to just give them all away. The rising pink tide. Vermont has legalized homosexual marriage. Now, this is not a surprise in itself. Vermont is a very gay state, and for the last generation or two has been a far-left fiefdom that has elected avowed socialist Bernie Sanders over and over again to Congress. You see, they love atheists, and they love socialists in Vermont. But coming on the heels of the Supreme Court in Iowa shoving homosexual marriage down the throats of decent Americans in the heartland, coming on the heels of the gay mafia in California pushing the state Supreme Court to overturn millions of voters, it's an ominous sign. There is a rising tide of pink in this country, and it comes as a result of the election of Barack Obama. Why? Obama has signaled that during his reign it will be acceptable to impose homosexual marriage on the people of the U.S. He's being very cleverly used as a tool of the gay puppet masters, or is he using them? He is personally masculine, he has a beautiful family, and was used by the homosexual mafia to convince real American families that they should support him. And now that Obama, the Trojan horse, has been taken inside the gates, the contagion from within his administration is spreading throughout the nation. One state at a time seems to be falling. Massachusetts, Connecticut, Iowa, California teetering on the brink. Will Texas be next? Will Obama say that in order to make up for the oppression caused by slavery, that the Deep South will now have to accept homosexual marriage, or else? Is this a sexual reconstruction of the entire nation? Don't ask, because Obama won't tell. President Obama has traveled all over Europe to spread friendship and understanding in hopes of rebuilding how our country is viewed in the world. But what has he really accomplished? Joining us today to talk about this is Jeffrey Kuhner with The Washington Times.
Thanks, Michael. The confetti is now over. The parades have stopped. The cheering crowds have put their flags away. And now the commander-in-chief, the celebrity-in-chief, the nutty professor, Barack Obama, is coming home. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is a very simple one. What has the Messiah delivered for the American people? He went to Europe to accomplish two fundamental objectives. One, to persuade Europe's socialist leaders to adopt more stimulative spending. And secondly, to go hat in hand and beg the leaders of France, Germany, and England. And what did they tell him in return, Michael? They basically told him that they will not be sending troops in Afghanistan, that they have agreed to only 5,000 non-combat officials or personnel being sent, most of them election monitors, to oversee the elections in August, and most of them will be returning home. In other words, Barack Obama, for all of his hype, for all of his talk, for all of his swagger, that he is the one that can deliver European cooperation and our international alliances, has come back essentially empty-handed. And here, Michael, is the fundamental point, and it is maybe the mother of all points. For what did Barack Obama do on this overseas trip? He did something that no American president in the history of the American Republic has done. He has gone abroad and he has sullied and insulted and besmirched and smeared our good name. In France, he apologized to the Europeans for America being arrogant, dismissive, and derisive. In Prague, he told the Czechs that America has a moral responsibility, as he put it, to create a nuclear-free world because America is the only nation to have used nuclear weapons. In other words, a barely concealed reference to the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki that ended World War II. In other words, Barack Obama went to the international community and he said, we are to blame. We are to be ashamed of America's role in the world. We are to be ashamed for the war in Iraq. We are to be ashamed for dropping the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Well, I have one simple answer for Barack Hussein Obama. You can pander to the Europeans and the Turks and the Czechs and the Muslims all you want. The fact of the matter is, and there is no getting around this fact, we are now facing the greatest threat that Western civilization has faced since the 1930s. Everywhere we look now, our enemies are on the march. North Korea has just launched a missile with the capability to hit Alaska and the West Coast with a nuclear warhead, potentially killing millions of Americans. Iran's fanatical president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, the Persian Nazi, the Hitler of our time, is now months away from acquiring a nuclear bomb. As Barack Obama lives a liberal fantasy of a nuclear-free world, our enemies are getting stronger, they're getting bolder, and they're now getting closer to the ultimate weapons of mass destruction. And Michael, I have mentioned this before, but I have to mention it again because the truth cannot be repeated often enough when so many lives are at stake. The leader of Iran has vowed repeatedly and publicly that he will consume the world and the Middle East in a great ball of fire, that he has been divinely sent by Allah himself to bring about a world Muslim empire and to wipe the Jewish state off the face of the earth. And he then says, after he completes what Adolf Hitler started, he will then set his sights on the great Satan, on America itself. And we now know, Michael, through the investigative reporting of the Washington Times, that Hezbollah, Iran's terrorist proxy, which has now dismembered and undermined and subverted Lebanon, which is now looking to attack and destroy the Jewish state, which is now in bed with Syria, which now has links to North Korea, is now using the drug transit routes of the Mexican drug cartels to penetrate our southern border, and they are now here in the American homeland. They are in Los Angeles. They are in New York. They are in Washington. They are dealing drugs and poisoning our youth. They are raising and laundering money. But most importantly, Michael, as law enforcement officials, defense officials, and intelligence officials have confirmed to the Washington Times, they are now plotting terrorist attacks to bomb our bridges, bomb our buildings, behead our women and children, and destroy our shopping malls. In other words, they are here to unleash not one, but multiple 9/11s. And as this is going on, as Iran gets stronger, as North Korea gets bolder, as Russia and China now sense weakness in the United States, as they now ask for a global currency, as they now say America's days are numbered, Barack Hussein Obama plays the movie star on the international stage. He is greeted like a rock star. He gives the Europeans everything that they want and asks for almost nothing in return. He is now living a liberal pipe dream of a nuclear-free world and of unilateral disarmament. We are to cut back on our nuclear weapons, but our enemies continue to get nuclear weapons. Michael, this is the road to disaster, destruction, and ruin. And until the United States wakes up and realizes once and for all that there is not only Jimmy Carter in the White House, but something even worse, we have an out-of-control, celebrity-crazed Marxist posing as some kind of responsible world leader who will drag this country perhaps into the greatest debacle since Neville Chamberlain. For Michael, as I have said repeatedly, and I cannot stress this point enough, during the 1930s, the most popular politician in Europe, in the United States, and the world was not Winston Churchill. It was not even Franklin Roosevelt, nor was it even Adolf Hitler, although the Germans loved him dearly. It was Neville Chamberlain, the Prime Minister of Britain, because he gave the people of the West what they wanted, which was appeasement. War-weary, exhausted, no longer wishing to confront the gathering storm in front of them, the people of Europe and America turned their back and a blind eye on the threat of Nazi Germany. And even though Hitler vowed he would murder every Jew and he would dominate and conquer the European continent and that he would wage another world war, the Europeans and the American liberals, led by Franklin Roosevelt, openly welcomed and cheered Neville Chamberlain when he came back from the sellout of Czechoslovakia at Munich with his paper saying, "I have peace in our times." And they loved him in the streets of London. They loved him in the streets of New York. They called him the savior. They called him the great peacemaker. And within less than a year, Europe was at war. And the result was 6 million Jews dead, 50 million dead, and a continent in tatters. We are now sleepwalking towards disaster. We now have a second Neville Chamberlain in the Oval Office. And Michael, until we conservatives finally wake up to the gathering storm that is now about to engulf this country, until we say enough is enough, appeasement never works. It didn't work in the 1930s, and it will not work now. Until we say you cannot have peace with Islamic fascism, you cannot have peace with people who are devoted and dedicated to the destruction of Western civilization, there can be no negotiations. There can be no compromise. Until we say that loudly and clearly, this country will continue to descend into a transnational leftism that is the greatest danger this country has ever faced since the late 1930s. Michael, I truly fear now for the state of Israel and for the Jews across the world. But as somebody who loves America deeply, who is an American patriot to his heart and soul, I fear for this country even more. And now it is up to us, the responsible party, the civilized party, the conservatives, to rise up with one voice and say loudly and clearly and unequivocally, we will fight for our republic, we will fight for Western civilization, and we will not allow this phony and fraud in the White House to shame, humiliate, and disgrace America on the world stage. Michael, thanks, and back to you.
Thanks, Jeff. Obama's strategy was to make us look bad. Well, I believe he's achieved that with flying colors. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Here is what's on MichaelSavage.com. From the AP, Vermont lawmakers legalize homosexual marriage, making it the fourth state to destroy and distort reality and to attack traditional families. Isn't democracy great? Obama declares U.S. not at war with Islam. That's interesting. Well, it's unfortunately true that some of Islam is at war with the United States. Barack Obama really goes on a bit. The London Telegraph says that he has a mastery of speech, but he says, am I alone in finding Obama increasingly to be something of a bore? From the Washington Times, a group that wants to bypass the Electoral College and elect the president based on the popular vote is gaining steam. That way they can bypass all the white people in the middle of America. From CNBC, George Soros, master manipulator, master currency trader in the temple of freedom, says that we should replace the U.S. dollar with a world currency. This is also on MichaelSavage.com. Did you know that it was a Muslim who stole the Cessna from a Canadian flight school who was pursued for hours across the Midwest by fighter jets? Did you know that his name was Yavuz Burke, a 31-year-old naturalized Canadian citizen who was born in Turkey? No, didn't make it to your local press, because Islam is a religion of peace. Remember back when, during the days of the war on terror, when there were dry runs? Well, folks, this was a dry run. And guess what the Turk discovered? That we don't have the guts to pull the trigger on an errant airplane flying in restricted airspace. You see, the pilot did not respond to multiple requests that he establish communications with ground controllers. Now, of course, he's saying he's depressed and that his girlfriend left him. But the fact of the matter is, this was a dry run. As sure as this is MichaelSavage.com. Here's another story, a sad one. Teachers are being stalked by pupils because schools are powerless to impose discipline. Did you know that teachers are being stalked and victimized by pupils because the schools won't properly discipline the animals? In England, the fluffy atmosphere in many state schools has given children the freedom to attack teachers without fear of prosecution. The Association of British Teachers and Lecturers told about 215 reports of damage to teachers' homes and cars had been reported in the last year alone. What an unbelievable world the West has become. Oh, boy. Well, that's it from MichaelSavage.com. Oh, there's one other story on MichaelSavage.com that you got to catch, Tale of Beauty and the Priest from the New York Post. A 66-year-old Staten Island pastor, trying desperately to turn back the clock, ripped off nearly $85,000 from his congregation to pay for plastic surgery, Botox shots, and fancy clothes, and membership in certain men's clubs. New York City, WOR. Stewart, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, when you have a media that's a bunch of whores, when you have a fraud in the White House, where's the hope? I mean, you talk about trying to turn the country around.
Where's the hope? Didn't you just get a man elected? Didn't we see a man filled with hope and change elected? Why don't you feel positive about that? He represents hope, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He certainly is recommending. He represents hope for Russia and China. There's no question about it.
Hope I can live without. But look, yeah. Mike, I'm 54. I don't have that many years left, but by time I'm done, I don't see this country being anything like it was.
Well, why do you guys at 54 think that you're going to die? Why do you think you have one foot in the grave? I don't understand that, Stuart. Why do you feel old?
Humor? I don't know.
I'm going to deal with this for one minute, Stuart. I want to know why you think at 50 you're old. Why do you get that feeling?
No, I don't think I'm old. I just think, hey, 30 years went by so fast, and 30
years... All right, how long do you think you expect to live?
Maybe another 30 years, God willing.
Okay, so you think you can make it to 75-80?
Yeah, I think I got it.
All right, I think that's a realistic assumption. I don't know anything about your genetics, but I thought you were feeling like you had a foot in the grave. You're saying by the time you leave the earth, you think this country's going to be what?
Turn it off. It's depressing. Where's the country going? The country's shot. What's left?
Well, what you're saying is, can we ever come back from this propaganda and this left-wing juggernaut that has taken over the country is what you're really saying?
There's no coming back. I don't see
There's no coming back. You actually think it's over?
Yes.
Yes, you're right. With the media being what it is, it's very difficult to perceive a change occurring. However, I'm an eternal optimist. As pessimistic as I may sound some days, for some reason, I don't have as much pessimism as you may believe.
I think you have optimism, but I don't see the reason for the optimism. Everything we see causes me to be pessimistic, a realistic, which is that things are not going to get better. No, did Rome come back? Rome fell. America's going to fall. That's how
I don't see the comparison. There are comparisons in terms of the lack of morality between ancient Rome and ancient Greece and America. We've all seen that. There's no question about it. But economically, I think Rome was in better shape than we are.
At every college, it's at every high school.
Oh, yes. The children, for example, when I have this argument, I'm told by someone very close to me, he said, Dad, you don't understand. The children have been brainwashed for 5 to 10 straight years about global warming, which is a myth. They have turned them into little eco-fascists who are worried about their cell phone charges burning up the rainforests. They are worried about that to the point that they'll turn their own parents into an Obamaite who says how much electricity is being used by your parents. I understand that. But let's go back to the other Christian, Muslim, Jewish nation. Play that again, Sam.
You know, I've said before that one of the great strengths of the United States is, although, as I mentioned, we have a very large Christian population, we do not consider ourselves a Christian nation or a Jewish nation or a Muslim nation. We consider ourselves a nation of citizens.
Well, so does China. Obama says the U.S. is a secular nation, and he refused to go to Normandy to pay respects to those who liberated America. We're focused on what Obama does to insult this country day after day. I'm starting to think maybe he's insulting the country in order to keep us distracted from the real issue, which is always about money. It's always about money, it's always about power, and all of these insults to our nation's dignity and history may just be a distraction for all I know. This is the Savage Nation. With God's will and your listenership, I shall return.
Savage.